Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This just in, we have no idea who the president is right now, coming up in 2021. If you look at the electoral votes, it's 270 that you need to win, and Joe Biden has 264 to 214 for Donald Trump. There are still states in play, there are protests going on, and there are ballots being counted. Mail-in ballots, but there was some dramatic things that happened earlier in the day on Wednesday. I think Americans are weary. I think they're tense. And what a year 2020 has been. So no surprise, and I didn't think we were going to know on November 3rd, no surprise that this has happened. So how you doing, America? And everybody else, by the way, listening outside of our borders, here's a virtual hug for you. Whew. Just take a breath. Kate Delaney, thrilled to have you with us. So let's dive into it. Three critical Rust Belt states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. One of the things that I heard during the day is, one of the things that happened was that Wisconsin, with the votes counted, Biden got Wisconsin. And then the other thing was Michigan. And I was kind of surprised at Michigan because earlier it was looking red. It was like light red and looked like it might just happen. That's why you got to count the votes. And electoral votes from Michigan was 16. From Wisconsin, there was 10 that were at stake there. So those were two big ones. And then Arizona on the 3rd was 11, and that was a very, very big surprise. So at this point, it is the wait-and-see game, because you still have to hit that number. Like I said, there are challenges about ballots and things that are happening. And could it be Friday? You know, they're saying Thursday, perhaps for Pennsylvania. Georgia is saying perhaps Thursday, maybe Friday. They're trying to hedge their bets because a lot of people are breathing down their necks, frankly. All right, let's go to Grimm in the great state of Mississippi, right here at the top. Hey, Grimm, how are you?
Well, I'm doing real good, Kate. I got something to mention here. Our U.S. representative for Mississippi's 2nd Congressional District, since 1993, a career politician, if you ask me, tweeted today, less than 6 hours ago, the wannabe dictator, Cheeto, is throwing a fit because he's losing. Hashtag FYI. Now, isn't the verbal usage of Cheeto the same as the N-word?
Well, and some people would say that, yes. Yeah.
Well, if this is how they're starting off out of the gate, I think he should be removed and Brian Flowers that ran against him put in place. Because aren't they out to combat this in their campaign? You know, they don't hate. they don't make bad tweets like Trump or mean ones.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not true. I mean, now there's so much vitriol, that's exactly the kind of things that you expect to happen, but you make a good point. What a way to start off, right?
Right. I mean, he's in office because he's been elected.
Yeah.
It's official. His votes have been counted here. And he started off his tweet with that comment. And I just got to say, if this is the loving and caring type of party we're going to have, I can't support it.
Yeah, thanks.
But I'm gonna do what other people didn't do. I'm going to comment about it. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to stand up for my Constitution.
But here, you know, here's what I think. It's just, do we live in a nation of, and you pointed it out to us, do we live in a nation of bullies where that's exactly, like, why do that? Why go there? And especially why, because that's the cartoonish reference to the president, because of how he looks, because of his tannish color and hair and whatever. But regardless, that's a slur, so fighting back with that just is, you point more than anything, that's what I think you point out, Grimm, so that's not a great way to start off.
Yeah, it's not. I mean...
No. I mean that's not... The idea is this unification thing. I mean, you know, if you're representing the great people of Mississippi, just do it where you represent everybody then.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's there for. And
yep.
The young man ran against him. That's what his basic campaign was. And Benny's been around since 93. Ain't it time for a change? I mean, really. I just figured that fact. It wouldn't hurt to change up. It's going to be fun to see where this country goes.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. No kidding. First of all, what happens once we hit the 270? What happens when we swing into January? There's so much that just, you're right, Grimm, there's so much that hangs in the balance of our lives and the way people are processing what's happening and reacting and, my goodness. I mean, there's so many people that come on this show from other countries, which I'm very proud of that. You know, in my author's corner segment, highlighting writers and that kind of thing. And one of the first things often that is said to me is, oh my gosh, are you okay? What's happening to America? We're worried. We're worried for you. We're worried for your listeners. Seriously. I probably hear that 3 or 4 times a week because of what's being said or what's being interpreted in Australia, in the UK, in Wales, I was talking to someone today in Ireland, and what are they seeing and what are they hearing that's going on in the United States with the election, with our politics, with the pandemic, and with the, with what's happening when there's, problems in cities and, with shootings and Black Lives Matter and, what we're seeing with people that are coming out and peacefully protesting, like Black Lives Matter, and then something happens, and then it's exploded and misinterpreted in the wrong direction elsewhere, and that's the kind of things that people from other places are asking me to explain to them what I see. Numbers, we got them. Lots of different kinds of numbers coming up on our version of We Can Count next.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have 2 convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay Wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. Shoppers, no need to wait to score amazing deals this year. Amazon has holiday deals earlier than ever, so the Black Friday discounts are already here. Amazon's Holiday Dash Deals event is serving up holiday cheer and early savings this year to give customers even more time to shop and save. You'll find daily deals and discounts from some of the hottest brands and small businesses, making it easy to find something for everyone on your list for less. Elizabeth Gordon, Amazon, says.
This year, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to stress less. That's why Amazon is focused on providing our customers with incredible savings and gift ideas this entire season, plus fast, free, and convenient delivery options so they can beat the holiday hustle and enjoy more time with loved ones.
Don't wait until the last minute this year. Take advantage of early savings and shop for everyone on your list. Head to Amazon.com/holiday-dash or shop from anywhere with the Amazon app.
Is continuing, so forget about those numbers. You know a lot of those already. We talked to them. It's the road to 270. That's where the eyeballs are. What's going to happen there? We don't know yet. We know the bubble ones, bubble states, meaning that they haven't totally reported yet, and people are on pins and needles, Pennsylvania being one of them, Georgia, of course, being another that's being heavily watched. Nevada is another one that's being heavily watched. But the two that have really tightened too close to call, the two races, are Georgia and Pennsylvania. And the reason you would throw in a couple of the others is because there are now some challenges going on. The legal team for Donald Trump, the president, is challenging some of the mail-in votes, etc., and the counting. So pull up a chair. We'll see how long all of this takes and ultimately what happens. All right, how about this? A man donated for something completely different. A man donated 25,000 baseball cards to a 9-year-old who lost her collection in a wildfire. Isn't that a nice story? This young woman who likes baseball, Reese Osterberg, she loves watching baseball, playing it, loves baseball cards. And so her story was on because her family was on in a few places because her family was forced to evacuate their home in Fresno, California in September because of the horrible Creek fire. the single largest fire, by the way, in California history. Still burning. Yeah, still burning. And her 100-piece baseball card that she methodically put together collection was left behind. So they lost, the family lost all their belongings, their home, sadly, and she lost these cards. So a San Jose man who heard about her story decided to give them to her. And his name is Kevin Ashford, and he said that he had this large collection he wanted to donate, and there you go. They got all the boxes, picked them together, you know, put them together, and this guy had been collecting baseball cards since the 60s, and his entire collection could be worth maybe even $50,000. So what was really cool is Cal Fire put the two in contact with each other. They even offered to help deliver the boxes to her home in Fresno, and they did it. Heading into the weekend, they delivered those boxes. And boy, that little girl couldn't have been more excited, as you know, her home is gone and all the other things are lost. But his one act, so incredible to hear that and decide, yeah, this is exactly, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make her day. So bravo, bravo, bravo. I love, 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 love that story. All right, let's bounce to something else. How about in Denmark? I had no idea about this, but in Denmark, they plan to cull up to 17 million mink to stop mutated coronavirus. The world's largest producer of mink furs. They, what they're saying is, the prime minister said that the decision was made with a heavy heart because of the livelihood of this, but it was necessary. So, because they're saying the virus has mutated in minks and it's spread to humans. So, in Copenhagen, they deal with infectious diseases there. They found 5 cases of the virus in mink farms and 12 examples in humans that showed reduced sensitivity to antibodies. Allowing the virus to spread could potentially limit the effectiveness, they know that, of vaccines. So there in Denmark, there are between 15 million and 17 million mink farms are very big. Very, very, very big. So Denmark's police, army, and home guard are deployed to speed up the culling process. They said it was incredibly sad to do this in one sense, but they had to do it. So, wow. I mean, realizing, tracing that, and figuring out, well, you know, this is it. This is we have no choice. This is what we have to do. Geez. All right, moving on from the minks and that situation, it's interesting in my own research in numbers, the things that you see. I mean, I see numbers everywhere, and that's why I started to throw together this, you know, we can count segment. Jeffrey Epstein, oh, a name that I hate to even utter on the air. The Jeffrey Epstein's $22 million Palm Beach mansion demolished. That's what they're going to demolish, that mansion. So it's a 6-bedroom, 1,400-square-foot waterfront home with a staff pool and pool house. And it was owned by Epstein, who died in prison in 2019 after he was arrested on federal charges for allegedly running a sex trafficking enterprise between his Manhattan home and his Palm Beach estate. So the home was put on the market, and the buyer is a developer who specializes in teardowns. And so they're tearing it down. They're going to knock it down either way, but it's even better that they're knocking down that house because of what it means, what it stands for to so many people. And so that's going to be knocked down, and who knows what they put up and ultimately what that's going to be worth. But and they say it wasn't necessarily that, but there certainly was a pall, a stain, a blight, if you will, in that house, in that area because of the atrocious things that allegedly happened in that house with Jeffrey Epstein, and so much still left in the Epstein tale to be told, I think, with Ghislaine Maxwell and what happens with her. If there's justice, boy, oh boy, she will never see the light of day, in my opinion. Oof. Okay, so we move from that to this, I think, amazing story that I didn't hear until, I think, a Halloween night, maybe I heard it. And I went and saw the pictures, and then somebody I know that lives in Rochester, New York, sent me some pictures of it. There was a father in New York who built a 50-foot-long, 20-foot-tall pirate ship in front of his house in Rochester. And his name's Tony DiMatteo. He said he had no background in it. He just did it for fun for the kids and for the kids in the neighborhood because of everything that's happening. He said it's just been such a rough year for so many people. We thought it'd be a good way to put a smile on people's faces and get them excited. So he has his own kids. He has like three kids, and he tried to get them to kind of help him a little bit. This pirate ship is mind-blowing. This is radio. I'll just describe it to you. It looks like it could be a movie set. It is just, you know, it's a regular suburban area, not some big fancy gated community or whatever. And he built this, and it looks so real, this ramp, the whole thing, pirate in the front, the pirate ship with the pirate sails, and it is just the coolest thing. And he made it from recycled metal and wood and rope. So you have the black pirate flags and the huge skeleton that hangs from the bow, and it's got some six cannons that light up, a fog machine, fire blasters, a soundtrack, that whole thing. And what's wild is you think, wow, I mean, how did this suburban guy in this neighborhood, how did he put this whole thing together? And it cost about $3,000 in supplies. He said it took about a week to build. He bought things secondhand. He made the props himself, most of the props. And he said it just gathers so many crowds, and people get so excited. And he said it's so fun, and it's really just brought joy to the neighborhood. And that's what he was intending to do. But it just got even bigger, right? So it was beyond his neighborhood. People drove to see this 50-foot pirate ship for Halloween and beyond, because it's still apparently up in his neighborhood. All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the other side for Author's Corner.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source, so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
With multiple battleground states too close to call, the White House still hangs in the balance. Former Vice President Joe Biden said Wednesday that he would not declare victory, but believes he will be elected president when all the votes are counted. He told supporters that if elected, he will govern for all Americans.
To make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as enemies. We are not enemies. What brings us together as Americans is so much stronger than anything that can tear us apart. So let me be clear. We are campaigning as a Democrat, but I will govern as an American president.
Meanwhile, the Trump campaign has filed lawsuits in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia over continued vote counting. They're also asking for a recount in Wisconsin. This is USA Radio News. Oregon's governor has extended her joint police command several more days as protests in Portland erupted into a riot. Governor Kate Brown activated the state's National Guard Tuesday night after protesters were seen smashing the windows of downtown businesses. Brown says she will keep police officers, state troopers, and sheriff's deputies in the city under a unified command until at least Friday, as uncertainty over the presidential election continues to spur nightly protests. While most of the country has been focused on the election, cases of COVID-19 continue to rise. The U.S. set a new record for cases on Wednesday with over 104,000 new cases. It's the first time that daily cases have topped 100,000. Hospitalizations from the virus are also on the rise, with several states reporting record levels. Indiana, Missouri, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Dakota, and Oklahoma have all reported record numbers of COVID patients. Officials in Iowa and Missouri warn that hospitals in their states are becoming dangerously close to being overwhelmed with patients. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Corner, Ricardo Labrija joins us, and boy, he's a prolific writer. He's written a lot of books, and the one we're going to talk about, and we're going to mention the others too, is Whispering Limelight. The second that I got off that conversation with him, because this is his latest book, I was like, okay, this is on my list. We're getting this today, because he told me the story, weaved the story for me, and it was a plot that I had never heard before, because, you know, they say nothing's new, but it depends on how it's reinvented. Well, if there's reinvention here, he really did it quite well. Ricardo, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I'm good. So let's talk about, I really meant that. I wasn't laying on the sauce for you. After we talked and you and I talked about the plot of Whispering Limelight, I thought, boy, there have been a lot of things that have been written about World War II and the plight of the Jewish people and the Holocaust, etc. But there's an interesting twist, I think, in where you take this book. So tell us about Whispering Limelight and how it came about.
Well, Whispering Limelight started as like you say, one of those stories from World War II and the survival of the Jewish people being prosecuted during the Holocaust. But each story has its own uniqueness about it, and this one I wanted to give this character a special thing, a special way of them trying to deal with this horrible situation. The story follows this girl, Clara Krause, living in Vienna, Austria, with her family, 10 siblings, and her parents. And they obviously live a great life in Vienna. When the Nazis rolled in and started, you know, giving them a hard time, obviously, with all this prosecution. And they tried to survive by hiding in a basement, living a couple of years. And she has a very unique way of dealing with all this. She has sort of like a gift, and she can see the future a little bit during this time of darkness. And she can see in this basement where they're hiding, she can see lights, beams of light coming through the ceiling of the basement. And this limelight that shines through kind of talks to her and whispers to her. And she can see through the beams of light images where she goes in and sees a little bit of the future of her family, what's going to happen after this time, if they're going to make it or not. And that gives hope to the whole family to be able to go through this hard time and be able to make it through.
And it takes place in where she was born, in Vienna, Austria, right?
Right.
Well, and it's interesting, the timing of that. And just when you think of Vienna, you think of music, and you talk about that, a place where music flows through everything, and it's just beautiful. And who would think that your fate would change the way it changed? So with this book and with your other books, where do you get your inspiration? Is it that you think about things that have happened, and sometimes there's a little history mixed in, or how do you come up with it?
Well, this is the first book that I've, my first novel that I've written based on actual true event. This is a story about this girl. I've actually heard some people talk about it. And a guy tell the story of his grandmother that survived Second World War doing this, hiding in a basement with her family. And from there, I got the idea of how she would deal with it, how she would try to survive this horrible situation, and how people, and specifically her, how somebody can actually create a world where she could be safe and she could be happy in such a terrible, terrible place. So that's where this book comes from. My yeah. other stories are, but there's a lot of fantasy involved, obviously, because you have to develop this whole new thing, this whole new world, this whole new perspective to be able to deal with such a horrible thing. Yeah.
The you know, it's interesting. I say that a lot of times you write about what you know, and so our backgrounds can weave into what's in our mind. And you were big in the music industry. When we talked, you were telling me how you were a reviewer for a really long time, and I feel like we need to tell people about that. That seems like that would be a pretty cool gig to have. Was it fun to do that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I started out very young, when I was like 17 or 18 years old, and I started doing some voiceovers for different commercials and stuff like that over in Mexico City, where I was born and raised. And I started getting into music, obviously, when I was really, really young. I studied music, and I started writing also and doing things in that. I've always taken me whole, and I was being some inspiration for me. Music has been a way of living since I was very young. So when I was in Mexico, I also started reviewing records, reviewing CDs and things like that from different authors, obviously, that came out. Started writing about it, about what the music inspired you from each song of the record, and trying to uncover the secrets within the songs. So each song and each record obviously was a whole story that I could tell as I was listening to the record, and I could obviously, you know, explain everything that I was feeling when I was listening to it. And that started my career in that. I worked in radio for for a long time in Mexico, and then I evolved to television, and then I moved to the States, and then I worked in television and in some voiceovers, doing voiceovers and things like that over here too.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It's an interesting world, voiceovers and music and whatnot. Sometimes you have brushes with fame when you're in the world that you and I kind of inhabit, although I didn't do the music thing. Do you have any great stories of a brush with fame?
Well, I was always in the side of production. I was always in the side of interviewing instead of being the interviewer. But yes, obviously I got the chance to interview a lot of different famous people. From Elton John to Bill Joel and U2 and a lot of different artists that I got the chance to ask questions and try to pick their brains on what their music was about, what their life was about. And it was very interesting. Obviously, I learned a lot and I experienced a lot of things through their stories and through the things that they would tell me when I got the chance to interview them.
Now, Ricardo, you can't just drop that on us. Oh, yeah, I got to ask a few questions. You too, Elton John. Wow. Elton John, what was Elton John like? I mean, he could have had a bigger year. What was it last year, winning an Academy Award and all of that?
Well, obviously, this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I didn't do it, like, recently, but it's always an amazing story when you meet somebody that's a storyteller like you are in some sort.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause all of them are, when they write songs, when they're telling, you know, things, feelings, when they're sharing their feelings and their things that they live through their songs and through their stories. It's amazing to sit with somebody like that. I mean, I don't know. It's a thing that I've had, I guess. I've never been, starstruck by anybody in my life. I think that when you sit with somebody, famous or not, they're human at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're people that have lived through a lot of things, obviously, a lot more maybe than most of all.
Right.
Most of all the people that you can see, but they're still human and they still can share their feelings and you can sit with them and they're real. You know, that's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize or don't expect them to be. Most people see them as gods and people that are way out of touch. But they're just humans. They just sit with you and they just, you know, share the stories and they're like anybody else. So it's the same thing. If you treat them with respect, if you ask them things that might be interesting even for them, then they'll come to your level and you can talk to them as humans, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that makes for better interviews, and that was my point. You're a great storyteller, and I can tell why you're a great storyteller. Whispering Limelight is the latest. You have another one coming out. You can easily find Ricardo's books, Ricardo Labreja. I think people will enjoy your storytelling, those that haven't heard you. Hopefully they hear you now that we've had this conversation. Go to Amazon, and you can get Whispering Limelight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. I hope that people can enjoy the rest of my books, The Parish of Dreams, The Ghost of Alcatraz, the novels that I have together with Whispering Limelight, and also my poems that are out there too, my first two books, The Compendium of Aphorisms 1 and 2.
Yep, excellent. Thanks, Ricardo.
Thank you, Kate.
SuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. and cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a five-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from three times a week to once a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to three times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Sue have written a book called Thy Kingdom Come, reevaluating the historicist's interpretation of the revelation. And boy, a lot of people are talking about that right now, revelation. And his twist on this is so fascinating, and the research that they've done together to pull this together. So, Jerry, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
You're welcome, Karen.
Talk about why you wrote this book.
Well, it's years of studying, me and my wife, we were bouncing a lot of these ideas and concepts about the interpretation of Revelation between each other, and particularly the historicist model. We came to the conclusion that this constant recapitulation that the traditional view of the book of Revelation maintains doesn't really reconcile the narration and the symbolism of the book with the history that they say it does. Our book, actually, it's the model of historicism, brings forth that the narration and the symbolism actually applies to more contemporary times, our times, and particularly the rise of Protestantism.
Yeah, so explain that a little bit more with this new interpretation and how, with the research, et cetera, you came to your own revelation about this.
Well, as I said, the traditional view has the seals or the four horsemen arising with historical events during the first century or by the time soon after Christ. Being judgments upon the Roman Empire and et cetera, and what was happening to the early church at that time. our interpretation takes it more, the seals and the four horsemen, really into our time and the rise of his historic Protestantism, in which the most infamous wars, death, and economic disruptions leading to famine are caused by the rise of Protestantism. We use the Hebraic calendar in its prophetic festivals and the progressive guidelines in the book itself to determine that the symbolism and narration of the four horsemen do fit our times more, because we do have in our times on the rise of Protestantism the most infamous wars, death, economic disruptions, and famine.
Yeah. For you in doing this, how long did it take for you to pull this together?
Well, our studying is more than 20 years on prophecy in the book of Revelation, and actually studying the other schools of thought, too, like preterism and futurism. We come to our conclusions that our model of the book of Revelation was actually reconciled to history more appropriately. And it took us about another 10 years to actually focus in on what we specifically, our model is about, and within the last 10 to 15 years.
What kind of reaction have you gotten to your book?
Well, as like any new view or interpretations, it's met with controversy, and it's where this is our point is that the controversy we can deal with that and reconcile what we believe in more appropriately than the traditional view can.
Yeah, and when people read this, and having said that, what do you hope they take away from reading your book?
Well, what times we live in, because that's the whole object of prophecy, is to determine what times we live in. And prophecy is best understood after it's already been fulfilled. You can't determine what prophecies are being fulfilled in the future. And that's the thing that the traditionalist view don't understand, in particular with the trumpets and the seals. They're events in judgment, and they're looking at history as the commencement of judgment long before it should happen, in particularly a judgment on the church, because there is a judgment on the church according to the New Testament that must commence first before God judges the nations or those who oppose his gospel. This judgment is a trial that is occurring in a specific time, the time of the end, which is spoken about by the not only the book of Revelation, but the ancient prophets.
Yeah, wow. It's just in my mind, it just conjures up all of these images. What was the most surprising thing, I guess surprising, if that's the right word to use, that you uncovered? Because, I mean, 20 years, really, let's face it, that's what's gone into this. And then actually writing it, going through it. What you and Marsu did, I mean, you wrapped your arms around a lot of research. What was the most surprising thing that came out of your experiences and what you uncovered?
Well, it goes back to the time when we met and we were in the workforce, and we started realizing that what we had been taught in school about the Industrial Revelation was not completely true. It wasn't a complete boon to mankind. There was a lot of injustices that occurred, men, women, and children working and exploited, and though those are definitely boons and positive things to the increase of our wealth in society and the nations, nevertheless, though, it was at a cost, and that's what we weren't taught in school. And in researching this and developing our ideas, it came to our realization that these things that weren't taught to us are actually a greater understanding of what has happened in the past, and it fits well with the narration of those four horsemen and the symbolism.
Yeah, it does come back to that, and this has been what you've weaved into this conversation for sure. So people can go to Amazon and get your book, correct?
Right, yeah. They can go through my website, and then actually they'll take it to Amazon. My website is www.historicist.net, spelled HISTORICIST.net.
Perfect. Jerry, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kate.
All right, so that was fascinating. I mean, that all the research, like I said, that's why I said of all that research, you know, the things that you came across and coming up with that, and that book is a very, very thorough book, rather. So thanks to Jerry. A lot of conversation surrounding it. A lot of conversation surrounding early voting, too. And as we get to the tail end of this hour, I'll tell you the figure, 81 million, I think I said it at the top, too, have already voted. And the forecast is we could see 65% of eligible voters voting in the end. Some, according to the polls, some of the states too close to call. Who knows which way this goes? Biden up in some polls and Biden behind Trump in others. It depends on the state, depends on the poll. And can you imagine, I was just thinking this today, if the president loses, it's something he's not used to, right? He's not used to losing. And I think that he's pressing a lot of flesh, hoping that they're, you know, that the people that went and voted for him last time, that there's going to be consistency there, and he's going to get those votes back again. But with the economy, with COVID, I mean, that rocked the ship hard in what was looking that like it could be a good year, because the economy is so much the report card of a president who wants two terms. If we go back in our history and we dig through that research, you see it every single time. That's exactly what happens, because when people are struggling, you know, that goes to, even if it's not their party, maybe wanting a change, because the struggle is real. And for so many people, the struggle is real, especially when you've got some lockdowns in the U.S., when you have more cases surging and you have more people being laid off from jobs. You know, in Texas, they had, in one of the cities, they had another lockdown, El Paso, which has just been crippled by it. A second lockdown because the local hospitals, and I lived in El Paso, so I know what that's like. El Paso had such a bad wave that, you know, essential businesses, grocery stores, schools, child care centers, pharmacy, health care facilities are open, but everything else just shutting it down, and a 10 p.m. curfew to try to slow the spread of the virus in El Paso, Texas. On that note, thanks to all of you for listening to the show. You can always flip me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Make it count, everybody. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.